When a person is inspired, there's a sparkle in his eyes, or her eyes, and you seem to sparkle a lot. Yes, we will be giving a shared lecture. The devotees have requested me to start with something experience-oriented, and then our exalted Giriraj Maharaj will speak, and Vaisheshika will speak. Now, I need to make a few changes here, a few preparations. Gokrishna, can you please come with the harmonium here? We will do some meditation, so I don't know if I will be able to address the children to their full satisfaction. If you see that the children become a little bit expressive, then maybe it is good to... you know, this is a good movement with children. They become happy when it's done in fresh air. Good. So let us see. I'm sorry, I need to make just a few little... I think you need this table, is it? Or...
Oh. This is broadcasting from here at a distance. But I can...
Of what?
Marge, is this table too small?
But... We are from India. We can manage somehow.
I can switch them.
You can switch it. That would be ideal. That would be, because then I have easy access. One moment. Just now starting. Maybe you need a brick on that side of the of the microphone that it doesn't. No, it doesn't fall. No.
It's okay.
It's just about. So Nila Madhava, can you put it a little like this? Then it's cultured.
Just on the side. In fact, you can do like this.
I'm going to put that on top.
Yes, that would be have this on top. So Hare Krishna. Very, very honored to be here. It's my first time in this part of the world. I have heard there are orange trees in California. I have not yet seen them. But I'm very delighted to see you. And as I told to Giriraj Maharaj and Vaisheshika, now I feel when as an older devotee, I'm invited to come to a foreign country like California, then I should really give something that is worthwhile your attention, and maybe even create a memory that you can go back to and be nourished from. So we will try to do this. I thought to sing, now I will have to say it a second time. I'm not able to speak to children at the same time as the grown-ups. With children we would go like this, but good. Fine. So let us start. There are Madhava Punya Bhimani,
Ah, 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 ah Yeah.
one of my earlier memories of America is about Humphrey the Whale. He had been traveling up the West Coast, and then he had taken a sight tour into the Bay of San Francisco. And it became critical when he wanted to go back to the ocean, but he somehow got lost in the Sacramento, the river. Now, all kinds of press people, of animal rights people, became concerned that here is Humphrey, who is getting lost in shallow waters of the Sacramento. And many attempts were made to get Humphrey back, point him in the right direction, but Humphrey was stubborn to swim into his death, until one whale researcher had the idea to put some whale sound into the water and to make mew, 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 mew. And Humphrey thought, here's my tribe. He turned around in the Sacramento and he went through the Bay of San Francisco. My dear devotees, I saw news clippings when Humphrey passed under this big bridge. What is it called? The Golden Gate Bridge. There were thousands, 10,000s of people who were cheering, Humphrey, Humphrey, because everyone is enticed by the concept of freedom. That Humphrey was now joining the other whales in the free, open, is it called the Pacific, no? In the ocean. And he was free, and so on. This motive of becoming free is also a very important motive in literature, and believe it or not, in spirituality and Krishna consciousness. I would like to, because, you know, they always say the Germans are Germany is the country of the poets, so I don't know if it's true, but I would like to share with you a poem about freedom, and then I will bring the subject right to you. We have one poet called Rainer Maria Rilke. Have you heard about him? You have heard. Oh yeah. He wrote very, very prolifically. It's not a modern hip-hop poet, a little ancient, so young people may not know him. He came to a limit of his creativity, and he could not write any longer because he felt blocked and stifled. Then he went to another artist, a sculptor in Paris, Rodin, and asked him, what can I do in order to that my creativity again frees slowly, flows freely? And Rodin said, why don't you go into the zoo, Jardin de Luxembourg, and you sit before the cage of the panther. They had a black panther there. He had been captured in South America. He was an impressive individual panther, and he had a lot of strength. His fur was full of light, in his eyes there used to be a glimmer, a sparkle, but it had gone. in his long years of captivity. So Rodin, this frustrated poet, set before his prison and wrote this poem. I will say it for the third time. I might not be able to reach the full satisfaction of the baby, and I request you to do what is called responsible parenthood. Do not bore your baby to death with Satchidananda Swami. Bring him to the fresh air. No? So, please let me not repeat this a fourth time. So, thank you. So, here is the poem for you. My dear devotees, it is very important for you to understand the subject, because we will soon talk about how each one of you can become a free devotee, absolutely limitless, entering vastness, not any longer encumbered by your inner obstacles, not blocked any longer, but a real lively, enlivened spiritualist. So here's the poet. It is old English. You might have to concentrate, but I promise it will be valuable for you. So the Panta. His gaze has from the passing of the bars grown so weary that it cannot hold. To him there seem to be 1,000 bars, and behind those 1,000 bars no word. And so he passes by his cage and he only sees these bars and no word behind him, because he's captive, and so on. The smooth pace, the strong and supple stride that circles in the smallest space is like a dance of force around a middle in which a strong will is paralyzed. It describes the human condition, that we are moving in circles around our force, our strength, which is inside, but which is paralyzed. Only at times the pupil's veil lifts without a sound. An image enters, moving through the body's rigid hush, and in the heart ceases to be. Krishna consciousness is different. The transcendental message of Godhead penetrates through the ear and the layers and reaches down to the soul, and then fans the spark, as Vaisheshika Prabhu would say. It enlivens the soul for freedom. My dear devotees, the subject is important. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this in the first canto. This is early writings. He says, the spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to eat a pakora. Sorry, I was slightly inattentive. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to become a Hollywood star. The need of the spirit soul, listen, you have to catch me when I say something wrong. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. Wow, this sounds really good. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. Beautiful, beautiful, no? You're still awake? Too much philosophy in the evening, or still all right? Good. My dear devotees, there is an unfulfilled need in the heart of everyone who is not yet fully realized. There's an unfulfilled need which brings tears into the eyes. Although we would give our tears different names, they are only tears of one sort, tears of not yet being with Krishna. If you look deep into your heart, whenever you feel a need or a frustration, whenever you feel it's not just right here, ultimately it's a cry of the soul to meet the complete spirit, as Prabhupada says, in the land of the complete freedom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can we conquer our inner obstacles? And how can we connect and live in the spiritual reality? I sometimes feel, as our movement grows older, this initial drive which Prabhupada saw when he came to New York and so on, this initial drive is not really fulfilled. As our movement becomes more and more established, our attention may turn away from this need to become a spiritually free person who actually meets the Lord face to face. Yes, we may hear about this. We may hear overdoses of philosophical lectures, so much that we feel it does not relate to us any longer. Because at a certain stage in spiritual life, it's no longer philosophy which you need to convince you that you should surrender to Krishna. At a certain stage of your life, it's an experience of Krishna that will help you to cross the obstacles in your own life and in your own heart. We are reminded of a historic meeting. Narada Muni comes to the creator of the world, Lord Brahma, and asks him a question. He's concerned, he's worried. How will souls in the age of Kali cross the ocean of material life? Ocean means it's vast, it's unlimited almost. How will they cross it? And Brahma's answer is immediate, it is definite. He seems to have no doubt about it. He quotes a very nice verse. He says a very nice verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashakam Namnam Kali kalma shana shanam nata parataropaya sava vede shudrishyate. Listen, Narada Muni, after searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna. And he then goes on to say, by chanting, you become free of the 16 types of bondages and you meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I have immediately chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with you, but in the discussion, as I read it in the Kali Shantara Upanishad, the verse comes a little later with the Hare Krishna Mantra. Narada Muni says, you said we should chant the names of the Adi Purusha, the original personality. Be more specific, please. What names exactly are in your mind? And then Narada Muni said, Brahma says, gives him the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chant this, in other words, and you will become free from your inner obstacles, these 16 types of bondages. They have to do with the elements and their effects on our consciousness. And then you meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the excellent book of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, I'll Build You a Temple, you find Prabhupada talking to an audience in Mumbai, and he says, by chanting Hare Krishna, you will step by step realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then meet Him face to face. So, Prabhupada makes this point to a new audience, and then he says, in case they won't believe him, it's a science. So, today I would like to ask you, are you chanting?
Yes.
Have you met Krishna?
No.
What is wrong? Kali Shantara Upanishad, Prabhupada. Is the process wrong? Or are you wrong? Or another possibility, is the application of the process maybe not fully understood? We have to ask ourselves this question. If we just say, no, I have not met Krishna, let me meet Prakuras, then we will only develop volume in body, but not volume in spirit until understanding. Let us not compromise. Let us become scientists and explore. How can this process work? And my dear devotees, I speak very bluntly because it may be the only time where I address all of you. For me, when I turned maybe 26 or 27, I had a major crisis. And for me to solve this crisis meant either to leave the Hare Krishna movement for good or to study how it could work. I had heard these statements, Krishna is the holy name, and by chanting we associate with the Lord, and by this association we become purified, but I had not become purified. I was really the same as when I joined, young, foolish and angry at the world, who was so unjust, and at myself. So I thought, well, it seems it doesn't work, this process. But anyways, the Hare Krishna movement can be difficult, so let me leave this. I've become a Sufi and dance. But I couldn't do because Prabhupada was there, and I had no doubts in Prabhupada, and I with my stone-like heart, I had affection for him, deep affection and trust. So I said, let me study again Prabhupada's teachings. Maybe I missed something. I asked God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, who had studied with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I arrived after a long, long odyssey, at the conclusion, yes, that when you chant in an absorbed way, avoiding the obstacles, the what is called aparadas, then yes, purification and transformation of the heart is possible. So after arriving at this, I was not satisfied with the theoretical understanding, but in my own ways, I tried to increase my chanting and go deeper in the chanting, and now I can only say I'm a happy old man. This is all I can say. So how could the chanting work? You've heard many lectures about avoiding the blocks, the aparadas. Today I will not talk about this, although it needs to be looked at very strongly. Today I would like to talk about a positive way to chant by using the three human endowments, that is, those gifts which we have been given, that is a body, a mind, and a heart in the chanting. And I would like to guide you in a just very brief chanting experience. Are you into it?
Yes.
I would like you to touch a life wire of Krishna, of spirituality. No, we are not any longer into a public execution, so...
can I say something briefly?
Please do.
I just wanted to frame this for everybody real quick. Sachinanda Maharaj is very, very well known in Europe. To my knowledge, he's never come to Southern California. It's his first trip ever to Southern California. He's extremely famous, like superstar in the Hare Krishna movement, famous in his neck of the woods in Europe. But he's just come here for the first time. And he's learned, and he's a pundit, like most of our leaders in the movement. But specifically what Maharaj is famous for all over the world is he's famous for being a mystic, for being a very, very deep spiritualist, for chanting from his heart, and for having a genuine spiritual experience in life. Not book knowledge, but he's things that actually been realized by him. So what he's doing today is he's sharing with you a page from his own book, a little bit from his own life, that he came to our group. He formally practiced for about a decade. He came when he was a teenager. After a decade, he was frustrated. He hadn't gotten the results he was looking for. And then he underwent a process of catharsis and a process of deepening where he started taking his spiritual life, and specifically his chanting, very, very seriously. And he's now going to take us on some kind of guided meditation to allow us a little bit of a glimpse into his world experience. So let's take it real seriously. He's only been here one time in his life today, and he's very, very well thought of, and he's quite a deep spiritualist. And his self-effacing and self-deprecating and extreme humility is covering a very, very bright flame which burns in his heart that he's trying to share with us. Let's give him one more round of applause.
I really admire our Tukaram. I heard a lot from his best friend about Tukaram, and I see a wonderful Vaishnava. I'm very small, and I'm sitting next to a gigantic Himalayan rock-like personality, Giriraj Maharaj. I'm a little bit trembling, and I'm sitting next to our Vaisheshika Prabhu, who knows everything from the scriptures. We are always surprised about the extent of his knowing the scriptures. And I'm very small, but I'm trying to give something precious. Rupa Goswami says, isn't Charanamrita very valuable even if it is served by a low-class person? No. Yes. So this is trying to share something wonderful, but it doesn't make me wonderful. I'm very small. Yes, good. Let us, my dear devotees, everyone will say, the difficulty I face in chanting is to focus my mind or to remain focused. We have a problem with absorption because our mind is absorbed in our world with the tyranny of the thousand urgent things, WhatsApp calls. Some of you are not yet married, but feel it's time, you know. And then we feel we have not yet found our purpose, our place in life, and we are absorbed in all these things, and we are not able to unplug, so to say, from the prison, from the material existence. Our mind is the jailer and the jailed at the same time. Our mind puts us into the bondage, and it's he who suffers from the bondage the most. So it is when we sit down and chant, and especially when it's California, it is not easy to absorb ourselves. So if we want to chant with absorption, then we need to know how to do that. You can't go to the world of the spirit when you go all the time to the material world. You can't reach the treasures that are lying east if you constantly walk west. It doesn't work. So you need to bring your body and the mind and your heart. The heart is the seat of the emotion, but also the heart is the seat of the soul and the super soul, Lord Krishna, into the practice. So I would like to teach you a very simple method, which you can also easily remember, by requesting you to use your body to take a proper posture. You might like to do this already. Sit straight. Some of your shoulders are like this. That means you will breathe flat until the end of your life. You have to open it, bring it up, yes, and a little back. So now you sit properly. This will send a signal to your body don't be lazy now, you have to be attentive. No? Then you will need, as we do this exercise, and I will guide you in it, to focus your mind again. And the way to do it is you need to be absolutely in the present while you chant. And when you chant Hari, it's Hari. When you chant Krishna, it's not Oranges of California, but it's Krishna. When you chant Hari again, it's not what is there in the WhatsApp, it is Hari. The present, full present awareness. And finally, you will need to make a little journey. That is, you will need to come out of your material mind and go into your heart, where you chant in a prayerful mood while you are aware of the meaning of the holy name. Please engage me in your service, or depending on where you are in your spiritual life, other meanings. So I would like to do this with you now in a practical way.
Play a chord, yeah, this.
Our ragini broke, so we have to do it with the harmonium. Okay, we were just to center ourselves, chant only one name of the holy name, holy of the mantra. I will chant it one time alone, and then all together. Please sit straight. Your head, your forehead, please relax. Your eyes, please relax. The mouth inside, please relax. Appreciate how you are relaxed. Deep inhale. Deep exhale. Few times deep inhale. And conscious exhale. Please do so on your own. Now breathe into your heart space. Just imagine your breath goes down to your heart. And whenever you exhale, relax a little deeper. You direct your breath to your heart. Feel the lightness that is here where the soul resides. Feel the brightness in and out. Deep heart breaths. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur informs us that as we chant, we should keep the vibration in our heart. And whenever our mind goes to another subject, not the Hare Krishna mantra, another subject, we should withdraw and return our materially attached mind. Let us chant in unison the Hare Krishna mantra. Let us, however, keep the vibration in the heart. That's where you did your heart breath, no? I will say the mantra one time alone and then we will say it all together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All of us.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
please stand now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. With a certain mood, the not yet mood, I have not yet attained you, my Lord. You are still far. I'm separated still, and I'm ill at ease. I try to replace you so that my misery is not so intolerable with distractions of this world, but now I wish to go to you only. It's a verse which might prime you into a more devotional spirit. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today, I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please, engage me in your service. He will sing in this mood. I'm turning to you, my Lord. Please. Accept me, please. Accept me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. is, are you still in your mind or are you chanting? Do you think your body is straight, alert, your mind remain focused, and let your heart please address Krishna. Please accept me. This will be better. You sit down.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
first of all, of the laziness of the body. Oh, I was lazy to chant. To sit, oh no, and to be in peace, I'd rather be in the sun or in the gym. But now to chant. Laziness of the body, you have to overcome it by sitting straight, good posture. Then the mind is also standing there. It's blocking the gate of absorption, becomes distracting. So what do? You just focus, and I think Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's words, keep the vibration in the heart and bring the material attached mind back as soon as it wanders, is very good. But all of this needs to be brought into the before Bhakti Devi, so that you chant with a real feeling or addressing Krishna, like the child who cries for the mother, not absent-minded, not distracted, not lazy, but with an urgent need. We must know the need of the soul, that it is to be free and meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come in His holy name. Hare Krishna, thank you very, very much.
It's a edifying experience to be sitting next to my God brothers and with all of you to bask in the relief that we naturally feel when we get an opportunity to go beyond the turbulence of the mind and finally, after a day's worth of movement, to look inwardly, and even if it's for a second, to experience for ourselves a sense that I could be happy without anything, that what I am already right here in this moment is sufficient. This is the greatest wealth that anyone could have, is this experience, even if it's for a second. There's a great force in the universe, which one author I read coined as resistance with a capital R, in a book called The War of Art. Not The Art of War, The War of Art. And that is that whenever I want to engage my creative mind, he points out that there's such a force of resistance against it that I find ways to distract myself, even grand ways. And he speaks about the process of creating art or being creative in a similar way that you just pointed out, Maharaj, that you have to do the work. And the way he puts it in his book is that you have to become a professional. He's a writer, person who wrote the book I'm speaking about, and he said he resigned himself to sit down each day for a set number of hours, arranged whatever he had to on his desk. He had a little cannon, toy cannon, that he pointed in a certain direction. He made sure his chair was square with his desk, and then he put in his time. And when his time was up, he could move on. But he said, without taking these measures, it was impossible for him to come into the creative space. Seems counterintuitive. Isn't the creative space simply a spontaneous experience that comes to us naturally? Yes, but not always. And nor is the process of experiencing ourselves beyond the mind and the body, although it is the most natural thing because that's who we are. We can't access it without doing the work. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaish charan atma vasharvate atma prasadam adigachati. That those who discipline themselves to follow a process that's recommended, or the process that's recommended, can feel the flow of spiritual energy, prasad, kind of grace that descends, but one has to make oneself available. One has to be receptive. And one also has to be aware of the great power of resistance, through which I could waste 10 minutes. Is it possible to waste 10 minutes? I hope so, because I do it all the time. Okay, then how about an hour? Could you waste an hour? Anybody here? Yes. Do you ever get to the end of it and think, oh, I just wasted 1 hour? How about one day?
Yes.
A week?
Yes.
A month?
Yes.
A year?
Yes.
10 years?
Yes.
A lifetime?
Yes.
It's possible. Therefore, the Bhagavatam said, even a moment of full consciousness is so valuable that one should try for it by organizing one's life in whatever way is necessary so that one can have the experience for oneself. And Maharaj was stressing so much on this experience. He talked about how we may philosophize, but until we are able to apply the philosophy and come to absorption where all progress takes place. For instance, if you're studying a subject matter like music, I once asked a music teacher, where does learning take place? When does it actually happen? And he said, when you're absorbed. And it's similarly applicable in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. I'll just mention one of the forces of resistance in a more specific way. There's a story in the, of course you all know the Bhagavad Gita, and the anti-hero of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra, is a king who can't get over his attachment to his sons, which by extension is attachment to his own bodily identity. And the Bhagavad Gita's premise is that this attachment of Dhritarashtra is actually caused a great turbulence in the world, and the war of Kurukshetra could have been avoided. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very alarming section for me it's alarming, when Krishna, who wants to avoid the battle of Kurukshetra, goes to lengths to negotiate it, sends one of his devotees, whom we all know, Akura, as you know of his journey to Vrindavan to pick up Krishna and Balaram and take them to Mathura. And later on, he asked his devotee, Akura, to go and visit Dhritarashtra and to find out what his state of mind is. And I label this section, well, what I've taken away from it for myself is what I call the Dhritarashtra syndrome, the dreaded Dhritarashtra syndrome. And it goes something like this, that Akura mentions to Dhritarashtra that he could avoid the war if he would simply give the Pandavas their due. And that all wise people are eager for him to do that. And Krishna is eager for him to do that. And he speaks in rather stern, in a stern way to Dhritarashtra, and eloquently presents to him the situation. And Dhritarashtra replies, "Your words are like nectar, and they're very true, but I can't follow them." And this is the rub, because there's a way in which I may know what's good for me, I may sense that all beauty and happiness is available if I would give myself to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. But then I just won't do it. So the arrangements that we make, for instance, the Hare Krishna movement is a big arrangement. And it's a big project. It's meant to bring as many people as possible into a room like this to have a session, as we've just had with Maharaj, who's experiencing these experiencing the potency of the holy name for himself. So he's teaching us how to overcome the Dhritarashtra syndrome by doing whatever we can to make sure that we become professionals. Don't do it as a hobby. But become professional, move your cannon, whichever way it has to face, sit straight. Don't be a Dhritarashtra. And lean into it until at least a molecule of realization comes into your heart and mind. This is called inspirational sadhana. Other kinds of sadhana, where there's no absorption, is called niyamagraha, or biding one's time, watching the clock, when will it be over? So we deeply appreciate, Maharaj, that you've taken us through this exercise. The tunes, both in the beginning and at the end, were haunting, and the reminder that we're only a fraction of an inch away from touching the divine. It's all a matter of taking the trouble and trying, overcoming laziness and the power of resistance in this world. And anyone who will do this in one day, 1 hour, will feel heroic for having overcome what nobody else can overcome in this world, which is the great power of resistance that keeps everyone engaged in what could be called frivolous activity, because it doesn't come to the point of touching the soul and coming in contact with Krishna in a heartfelt way. One last note, and that is that spiritual life is a holistic process, and when we enter into a vow to chant Hare Krishna, and we're not alone, we'll find ourselves with those who are similarly dedicated, or we'll gravitate towards those who are similarly dedicated. And as a personal testimonial, I can say that the happiest I am ever is when I'm with my God siblings who are fully dedicated to the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And there's such a relish to being able to be with those who are fully dedicated, to feel as kindred souls, and then to discuss it. As Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports to the Adi Lila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that devotees are like scientists who sit together. You'd have to have a corduroy jacket with a little patch on each one. My father had one of those. And sit in kind of a bigger chair than this, facing one another, and discuss the results of your research back and forth. And this sort of discussion also supports us in the process of every day facing our own tendency to be Dhritarashtra. Every day we have to face resistance. And so no one should be afraid to take a vow. There are those on the other side of the vow who've already taken it, who are facing resistance every day, and who are getting profound realizations from it. And normally they only share them with you, or can share them with you, because you're open to it, because you've also entered into that realm. And this is one of the great sustaining processes of Krishna consciousness that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita: Machita makata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantashchamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. That those who have dedicated themselves to overcoming resistance and who are bravely on the path of Krishna consciousness, they've determined, although they're not sure how they will do it, to overcome the Dhritarashtra syndrome. And they take shelter of one another and discuss these points and their realizations. And Krishna says, Tushanti cha ramanti cha, from this discussion amongst dedicated souls, those who have taken a vow that enough's enough. Can you say that? No mas.
No mas.
There's great relish in that, to come to the other side and to be with those who have already crossed over the barrier of resistance by becoming professionals, by deciding that I'm going to do this no matter what. And this is what's provided by this kind of association in the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, life's a series of frustrations, and at the end, there's nothing in it. Everything's available in the chanting of Hare Krishna, and all happiness, all facility beyond what we could ever imagine is available by this one activity. Hare Krishna.
want to shine a quick spotlight on Vaishishtha Maharaj and how what he said was related to what Satchananda Swami said. I don't know if you guys caught it. Did you see how the one class led to the other?
Yes.
What was the connection? Can I say it loud? Yeah.
We might know theoretically how to chant attentively with devotion, but even knowing we might be unwilling or lazy or like Dhritarashtra.
Perfect. So Satchananda Maharaj tried to give us a little piece of his heart, and that should be enough for any sane person to get excited about the spiritual journey. And Vaishishtha Maharaj thought, why is it that we still don't do it? And he came up with this natural resistance in the material world, what he calls the Dhritarashtra principle, this causeless unwillingness to do what's in your best interest. And he came up with a solution for that. And that was a little bit of hard work to become a pro, to set yourself up for success, to put the work in. And they gave us a little tiny extra hack, which was to find spiritual people to uplift you. And he even added in a little something at the end, which is that his experience with spiritually minded people is the most rewarding experience of his life. So it's late. We've got some big programs today. I'm tired. Giriraj Maharaj is the senior most person in the room. Prabhupada's right-hand man for many years. There's a reason why he's speaking last, and I would encourage you all to throw off your lethargy and to listen with rapt attention while Maharaj also speaks some words of wisdom on this theme. Let's give him a round of applause.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarine Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Pajitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On the theme of resistance, I thought of a cartoon that Srila Prabhupada sometimes referred to. An old woman and her husband were sitting together, and the old lady says, chant, chant, chant. And the husband says, can't, can't, can't. With the same effort, he could have chanted, but he had that causeless aversion to it. I will relate one incident that demonstrates the power of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada had a supporter, a devotee, in Bombay, named P.L. Seti. He was very staunch. His devotion for Prabhupada reminded me of Hanuman's devotion for Ram. And he was part of a group. They had a guru in Vrindavan from before Mr. Seti met Srila Prabhupada. And the group would meet every Sunday and do Akhanda Harinam Sankirtan for 12 hours, continuous chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for 12 hours. And they would generally meet, they were householders, they would generally meet at the homes of one of the householders. But Mr. Seti had the idea to bring the group to our temple in Juhu. At that time, the big marble temple was not ready. We just had a semi-permanent temple. And for 12 hours, they did Akhanda Harinam Sankirtan. And Srila Prabhupada was upstairs in his quarters listening and very much appreciating. And he commented to his servant, why can't my disciples do that? All my disciples can do is eat and sleep. Now these devotees were very eager to have some personal reciprocation from Srila Prabhupada. And it was a little difficult because Prabhupada was ill. This was late in 1977. But at one stage, they came out of the little temple and were chanting under the Prabhupada's balcony. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was with Srila Prabhupada, helped him to come out onto the balcony and reciprocate with these devotees. And after chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for 12 hours, they would sing Vraj songs. There's one lady, yeah. And when she was singing, as I learned later, Srila Prabhupada had tears flowing down his eyes, from his eyes. So afterwards, I went to meet Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said that we should offer to accommodate them all at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu. We will maintain them, and all they have to do is 12 hours kirtan every day. So I thought about it. You know, they have jobs, their children are going to school. I didn't quite see how it would work. And I mentioned that to Srila Prabhupada and said, all right. Well, then our men should do it, 12 hours every day. I thought about that, and I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, we're working, you know, to open the temple, and I don't know if we can do that for 12 hours every day. Then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, then 12 hours on Sunday. So I said, okay, we can do that. And afterwards, Tamal Krishna Goswami said that Srila Prabhupada had done transcendental bargaining with me. That if he had started straight away with 12 hours on Sunday, I might have thought, oh, 12 hours? Maybe 4 hours. Because he started with 12 hours every day. When he came to 12 hours once a week on Sunday, oh yeah, we can do that. And quite miraculously, I mean, I was the temple president and I had to deal with a lot of issues and problems. But quite miraculously, after the 12-hour kirtan on Sunday, all the problems disappeared. You know, either the devotees realized that they weren't problems at all, or Krishna made some arrangement to solve the problem, but somehow all the problems were solved just by that 12-hour kirtan. So as the temple president, when people would come to me on Monday, you know, I might try to come up with some solution Tuesday, maybe, but by Wednesday I would say, well, give me a few days to think about it, knowing that with the 12-hour kirtan, it would all be solved. And it was really wonderful. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased. After he left Bombay, he wanted reports how the 12-hour kirtan was going. And the magic of chanting is that even if you, you know, are maybe a little inattentive or commit some offenses, but if you keep chanting, then gradually, yeah, you become purified and your mind becomes fixed on the holy name. So, yeah, I also remember once Srila Prabhupada was at an airport in Boston. He was about to leave, and a newspaper reporter asked him, "What does chanting accomplish?" And Srila Prabhupada, you know, smiled very broadly and replied, "Chanting accomplishes chanting." The more you chant, the more you chant. So that's what we want. Kirtaniya Sadahari. We want to chant and chant and chant. So yeah, it's been a great pleasure to be with all of you, and especially with His Holiness Satyanandan Swami Maharaj and His Grace Vaisheshika Maharaj. Because definitely our consciousness in chanting in particular and in general is elevated by elevated association. Sometimes I host God Brothers at my ashram in Carpinteria, California. And, you know, I'll be chanting japa. And then, you know, if a God Brother comes in to chant, I feel like my consciousness goes up. And then another God Brother comes in, again my consciousness goes up still further. And the God Brothers with whom I was chanting, they also felt the same way when another God Brother came in, that their consciousness was elevated. So yeah, Sankirtan, of course we know Kirtan means glorification, and Sang means complete. And that Sankirtan, complete glorification, can be taken in two ways. One is glorification of the name, the forms, the qualities, the pastimes, and so on. But the more common understanding is complete with other devotees, Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names. So we've been blessed by this gift from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us through Srila Prabhupada, and we should take advantage of every opportunity to chant, 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 and be happy. I'm referring to something that His Holiness Satyanandan Swami said maybe years ago, that our motto is chant and be happy. But he noticed that devotees do chant, but they're not always happy. And how to address that problem, so when they chant, they actually do become happy. And that was an impetus for him to do his, you know, japa retreats and holy name retreats, so that when we chant, we actually are happy. Which I hope, I mean, I feel happy being in, chanting in this association, and I hope you all do too. Thank you very much.
Okay.